Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. It's in this passage where the woman with the issue of blood is healed. When she presses through the crowd to touch the clothes of Jesus. And Jesus was on the way to the house of Jairus, but it was not an easy thing to get there quickly with all of the people that were crowding him. And jumping down to verse 35, it says, While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. Be not afraid, only believe. Hallelujah. I want to preach to you about that tonight. I want to encourage you tonight. Sometimes we got to push everything else aside and say, All I'm going to do is believe. All I'm going to do is believe. I'm only going to believe. Hallelujah. I'm going to stand on the word of God. I'm going to stand on what I know is true. I'm only going to believe. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you, Lord, for the moving of your spirit. I pray, Lord, that you'd have your way in this house, that you, God, would work and touch and move in every life. We give you the praise and all the glory for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Amen. The plan of God for our life is the greatest thing we can hope for and strive for. God has a plan for each of us. Beyond anything that we could possibly imagine or come up with on our own. If we stop short of the plan of God and look to any other plan, we are missing the grandest plan of them all. God never intended for his people to be ordinary and common. His plan is for us to be on fire for him. Hallelujah. That's his plan. He wants you to be on fire with the Holy Ghost. His plan, he wants us to be conscious of his power working and moving in our lives. He wants us to be walking in his glory and his calling. Tell somebody next to you, God has a plan for your life. Turn back to him and tell him, it's greater than any plan that you've ever had for yourself. Now that being said, how important it is for us to find the plan of God. To embrace it, to walk towards it, to allow him to shape us and to make us within that plan. When we're in the plan of God, when we're in the place where he's put us and called us to be the protection and the provision and the blessing of God follows. God will provide us with whatever we need to do his will. If it's something that we need in order to accomplish his will, God will provide it. If God has not given it to us, then it must not be something that we need to accomplish his plan, or at least not for this present time, because God will make a way for us to do whatever he's called us to do. He will provide whatever we need to do his will. Instead of looking at all the stuff we don't have, all the money we don't have, all the resources we don't have, all of that. We need to look at what do we have, because God has put in my hand everything that I need for this time in this place to do His will. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, there's also a great danger in us launching out into something that is outside of God's will. And that's why it's so very important for all of us to pray and to seek the will of God in our life. Because if we don't know the will of God, then there's a chance that whatever we're giving ourselves to is outside of His will. How tragic for what we've been spending our time on and devoting our energy to, how tragic for that to be leading us in a plan that's other than God's plan for our life. If we are living in a way that's outside the will of God for our life, then at the very best, we're trying to do everything on our own. In the worst case scenario, we could be fighting against the will of God. And so that's why it's so concerning to see people who they think, well, they'll do just fine when they start down some path after their own desire, but they never consult the plan of God and how their new direction fits into His will for their life. People just assume that, well, everything's going to be like it's always been, and not realizing how the hand of God has been on their life. And when they step out from the will of God onto their own will, they're missing the protection and the provision and the blessing of God. Hallelujah. Now, Pastor, is this something that's meant to scare us? No, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just doing what a pastor ought to do, leading people toward what God has for us. Hallelujah. But doing something that is out of the will of God, that should scare us a little bit. Because we realize we need the Lord every day and every hour. We can't make it without Him. Oh, if we ever get to the place where we feel like we're good enough on our own, that's a dangerous place to be. Oh, that's a dangerous place to be whenever we're considering a decision about our future, a career or a job decision, or maybe it's a relationship, something that affects our family. Maybe it's changing churches, or maybe it's a move that will cause us to change churches. Or I tell you, we ought to pause that decision and we ought to pray about it. We ought to make sure we find the will of God. Amen. For those of you who are single and one day plan on getting married, I want to tell you, it matters who you marry. It matters who you marry. And all of you married folk, you know what I'm talking about. But two young people can be just, you know, all giddy in love. And they overlook so much because their heart's just going pitter-patter. And, you know, it's just, oh, it's they just see all the good and they don't pay attention to the red flags. But then down the road, stuff starts coming up, and sometimes it's major things. Did you pray about this decision? Well, I prayed that God would let me marry him. I prayed that it would be God's will for me to marry that person. Did you pray if it was God's will or not? That's the question. Did you talk to your pastor about that decision? Well, I let him know what I was going to do. God has a plan for our lives. Let's seek the will of God in everything we do. And let's not miss the plan that He has prepared for us. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm preaching to some people tonight. If you only knew the plan of God, if you only had a little glimpse of what God is trying to do and trying to lead you to, you wouldn't even believe it. You'd say, no, that's not possible. That's why sometimes God doesn't show us everything. He says, just take one step at a time, because you won't believe where I'm taking you to. It's too grand. It's too awesome. You wouldn't even believe it. I know it's a Wednesday night, but some of you didn't even clap because you've been looking at your life and your circumstances and all the problems and all the situations, and you're thinking, does God even know where I'm at? Does he even know what I'm going through? All of the trouble and all the fighting and all of the struggle and all the spiritual battles. I've come to tell you, God knows exactly where you're at, and he has a plan. He has a plan. He's looking at you, and he has a plan. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Let's find the will of God, and then let's go after it with everything we've got. Have you ever flown on an airplane where there was a stop, but then the plane continued on to its final destination? Maybe it started in Dallas, and then it flew to Phoenix. And then some get off the plane in Phoenix, but then the plane continues on to San Diego, its final destination. We don't need to miss all God has for us. Sometimes we get to looking, oh, yes, God's done great things, and so I'm just going to stay right here and enjoy all of the things that God has done in the past. And yes, we're thankful for all that God has done in the past. But in all he's brought us through, but he's not finished with us yet. We've not reached the final destination. Come on, I've come to tell you, if we're still here, if we're still breathing, if we're still alive, then God has more for us. God has more for you. God has more for me. Oh, hallelujah. Our life should be so filled with Holy Ghost expectation that we're like a burning flame for God. We're so excited. We don't let up. We don't quit. We don't let off the gas, but we keep pressing forward because we're headed somewhere, and God has a plan, and we're pushing forward with everything we've got. Hallelujah. Momentum is a powerful thing. Momentum is powerful. I saw a Garfield cartoon strip, if they could put that up, that talked a little bit about momentum, okay? Garfield likes to eat, if you don't know what Garfield is. And I like to eat, so I guess that's why I just, you know. So here he is. He's eating everything in sight. Gobble, gobble, gobble. John comes and says, "Where's your dinner?" In fact, where's my dinner? And Garfield says, "Once my eating gains momentum, it's hard to shut down." Anybody ever been there? That's momentum. Once something gets moving, it's hard to shut it down. I remember one time, the carnival or something came to town, and they had one of these big old slides. And it wasn't just a straight slide, but it had some humps in it. And so we took the kids, and I don't know who went first or whatever, but then I had the bright idea, I'm going to go down this slide. And they get like a little sack, and you get in the sack, and you're up there, and it makes you go faster. It increases the momentum. I didn't need any help with momentum. I went over the first hump, and I'm like, oh. I went over the second hump, and I'm like, that was even faster. I went over the third hump and I thought, what am I going to do? Because the end of the slide is coming up so fast. I'm going to blow right past this thing. And I reached out, tried to stop, and I skidded along that thing, and it was a sight to behold. I had momentum. A business or an organization that takes off and gains momentum, it's hard to shut it down. It may be hard to get momentum going in the beginning, but once it's there, it propels things forward. It picks up people when they're feeling down. It keeps people focused. It brings energy to everything that they do. I want to tell you, a church with momentum is unstoppable. A church with momentum is unstoppable. That's what we want to be. We want to be God's church, moving forward with momentum. Hallelujah. Come on, some of you have been stuck for too long. It's time that we get on the train. It's time that we keep moving forward. It's time we pray like never before. It's time we worship. It's time we push. We're having revival because we want to see momentum. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Mathematically, momentum has an equation. If they could put that up. Momentum is found by taking mass times velocity. There's a little more to it than that, but mass times velocity equals momentum. The more mass and the more velocity something has, the more momentum. So, for example, if somebody is skiing down a mountain, the heavier that person is, or the more mass a person has, the faster they're going to go down the hill. Now, when I ski down a mountain today, I have more momentum than I had 30 years ago. Okay? Because there's more mass in the equation. You get it? What about for a church? How do we define momentum? It equals mass times velocity. What is velocity? Velocity is speed with direction. Speed with direction. You got to have direction. You can have a whole bunch of people just running about doing all kinds of stuff, but no direction. That's not velocity. That's just wearing yourself out. Okay? So velocity is speed with direction. In a church, our direction is Jesus Christ. His will, his plan for us. So the way that we gain momentum as a church is by moving toward Jesus and his plan for us. Velocity is speed with direction. If we take one step a year, that's pretty slow velocity. That's pretty slow momentum. If we take one step a month, that's better. If we take one step per week, look out, we're starting to gain momentum. So back to this equation now for momentum. If it equals mass times velocity, which is speed with direction. And so for our church, the more people, that's mass, who are taking steps every day and every week towards Jesus Christ and his plan for our life, the more momentum we're going to have. You get that? Why is it that pastor tries to get everybody on board? Come on, let's have revival. Come to church. Be a part of pre-service prayer. Come to church family prayer. Tell people about Jesus. Invite people to church. Let's all give. Let's all worship. Let's all preach with the preacher. Why are these things all so important? Because the more people, that's mass, who are taking steps every day and every week towards the plan that God has for us, the more momentum is going to start building. Hallelujah. And the more that momentum builds, the more it starts pulling others to come along with us to get to Jesus. But it all takes us working and moving with speed and direction toward the will of God for this church and for our lives. Hallelujah. Somebody here tonight needs to catch this, because it's been a long time since you felt momentum. But God's saying, I've got to do a new work. I've got to do a fresh work. And I need somebody to catch this vision. If someone is resisting the will of God for their life, for this church, for this city, if they're pulling against what God wants to do because they're chasing down some dream of their own that's not in the will of God, they're impeding momentum. Let me say it like this. If you're not in the will of God, and if you're working against the pastor, and if you're gossiping about everything that you think is wrong with the church, and if you're not praying and believing and pushing forward, you are restricting speed and direction. And if you are influencing others to do the same, you are stopping momentum from building up. Hey, no church is perfect. No pastor is perfect. But let's not stop what God is trying to do. Come on, let's get to praying. Let's get in unity. Let's start moving forward in the will of God. Let's get everybody we can to get on this train, because we're going somewhere. We're going somewhere. We're headed to heaven. Come on. And the more people we get on this train, the greater the mass. And when we're moving forward with everything that God has for us, that's velocity. And momentum is building. And it's hard to stop a moving train. It's hard to stop momentum. Folks, I'm preaching my heart out. I don't know why in the world some of you didn't clap for that one. It makes me wonder, do you like momentum or do you want to stay stuck? Do you like going somewhere, or are you ready to just throw in the towel and say, I quit. We can't have revival. Come on, somebody. I believe God is calling us higher. God is calling us forward. Somebody needs to say, I'm ready to see momentum. Wednesday night, but I'm not preaching on Sunday, so this is all you get from me this week. And I'm just not content for staying stuck. I'm just not content for not having victory. I'm not content to say, hey, we've already seen all the miracles we're ever going to see. No, I believe God's calling us somewhere, and I'm ready to see some velocity. I'm ready to say, God, take us where you want us to go. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. There's an old song with the same title as what I'm preaching tonight. Anybody remember that old song? Only believe. Only believe, all things are possible. Only believe, only believe, only believe, all things are are possible, only believe. And then you can take it a step further. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. Lord, I believe. All things are possible. Lord, I believe. The important part is right there in the middle of that song. The word only. Only. If we can get rid of everything else and have faith in God, all things are possible. All things. If we can get rid of ourselves, our opinions, our ideas, our plans, and only believe. If we get rid of everything else and focus on the plan that God has for us and only believe, it releases God to move on His level. Think about that. When we get in unity and when we only believe and we put everything else aside, it releases God to move on His level instead of restricting things to our own dimension. You want to do everything on your own strength and your own wisdom and your own ability? Fine, you go ahead. But there's going to be a group of us that lay down our strength and we lay down our understanding and we say, God, I want to see the supernatural. I want to see some things that I can't explain. I want to see some things that only the Bible talks about. Oh, I'm not content to be in this own, in my own dimension, but God, I want to see some things on your level, some things that only you can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Only believe. We've got to leave the crowd of those who are trying to just help themselves. And what God wants us to do is to cling to Him with everything we've got, to rest in His will, to surrender to His plan, to find peace in submission to what He's dreamed up for our life and for this church. When God is completely in charge of the situation, we are brought into everything He has and has prepared for us, because we dare to only believe. We learn to rest on the omnipotent plan of God. We move beyond all of our physical limitations into the realm of the supernatural. Oh, we get all anxious and stressed out because we don't know how we're going to come through things, and how are we going to make it happen, and how are we going to grow a church, and how are we going to find the resources to bring it about. But when we stop looking at our insufficiencies and we rest in God's will, Lord, whatever your will is, He's going to provide everything we need to do it. You want to talk about a stress reliever? Start trusting God. Surrender to the plan of God for your life. Get in His will. Stop fighting with what He wants to do. Amen. Let Him speak to you, and then you go do what He says to do. And that's when we can rest in the will of God and say, God said it, He's going to do it, and that's all. I am only going to believe. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen, If God has promised it, we can count on it. He will provide. He will open the door. He will make a way. Only believe. Jesus was making his way to Jairus' house and to pray for his daughter who was sick at the point of death. Jairus had faith that Jesus would heal her. He declared in Mark chapter 5, verse 23, he said, "Come and lay thy hands on her that she may be healed, and she shall live." He had faith. But there was a crowd. And then Jesus stops to talk to a woman who pressed her way through to touch his clothes and receive her healing. And while there was a delay, some of you have been caught up with the delay. God, I feel like I should be further along than what I am right now. I feel like I should have already seen the miracle. I feel like I should have already had the breakthrough. I feel like my family should have already been in church. I feel like we already should have been busting at the seams, having revival. What's the delay, God? What's going on? Come on, you ever been there? We don't like delay. Give it to me right now. Put it in the microwave and give it to me right now. But sometimes God says, I got a plan. I'm just going to take some detours, and I'm going to cause some delay. It doesn't mean that he's any less powerful. It doesn't mean that he's not going to do what he's promised. It just means that he's going to do it in his timing, in his will, in his plan. Oh, come on, somebody. There's been a delay, but God is still on the throne. And while there was a delay, Jairus' daughter died. Reading again, Mark 5:35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?" As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." No doubt there was all kinds of stuff going on in Jairus' mind. He just received news that his daughter had died. But Jesus says, "Be not afraid." What? It almost sounds a little harsh to say that to a man who just lost his daughter. But Jesus knew that fear and faith don't run together. Oh, if we've been listening to the voice of fear, we've got to stop hearing that voice in our life. God is able. There's nothing too hard for him to do. Yes, we are limited, but that's why we got to get out of the dimension where we're doing everything and into the realm where God works. Don't be afraid. And then he told Jairus, he said, "Only believe." Jairus, you've got to put everything else aside and only believe. Don't try to figure it all out. Only believe. Don't try to understand everything and make sense of it all. Only believe. Don't try to believe and be afraid at the same time. No, only believe. Oh, Jairus was to believe the word of Jesus when everything else told him the situation was helpless. But the word of Jesus said, only believe. Oh, can anybody put the words of Jesus to work in your life here tonight? I know the obstacles are all lining up, and there's so much that you can't fix. There's so much you can't figure out. You just don't know how God's going to do it. But hear what Jesus says tonight. Only believe. Only believe. Oh, come on. I'm trying to resurrect your faith in this house. I'm trying to resurrect some things that you used to pray about, but you gave up on. I'm trying to resurrect somebody that God has called you to be more than what you are right now. You need to only believe. You need to take hold of belief and say, I'm going to put everything else aside and only believe. God delights in those who rest on his word without wavering. Read with me in James chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Doubt has to go. Fear has to go. Worry has to go. Confusion has to go. Unbelief has to go. They've got to go in Jesus' name. Only believe. Only believe. Mark 11, 22. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. Only believe. Folks, if we can get this, if we can get this, there's about to be some mighty miracles in this church and in this city. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What is your mountain? Come on, somebody. What is your mountain tonight? What are you facing? A mountain is something that's too big for us to move. But by faith, we can cast it into the sea. Whatever it is that we desire, when we pray, we've got to believe that we receive it and we shall have it. Hallelujah. Of course, we need to be praying in the will of God. If it's something we're praying for, it's not the will of God, God's not going to answer prayers that are against his will. But when we're praying in the will of God, we can have an assurance that it's something is about to happen. When we pray, we believe that we receive it and we shall have it. We've got to learn to shut out our natural sight and to get in the spirit and to take hold of things supernaturally. Hebrews 11 and 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The realm of faith is not in the things that we see with our natural eyes. If we want to get into the realm of faith, we've got to move beyond what we can see, beyond what we can understand, beyond what we can figure out. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes people want to know why they're not seeing miracles. Why are they still in the realm of the natural and not the supernatural? It's because they're still depending on what they can see. But only believe. Everything else has to go but belief. It's not something that we just catch this naturally. This is something that's totally opposed to our flesh. We have to develop this lifestyle of faith. And the way we develop it is by using it, working it, exercising it. We only build muscles by exercising them. I'm closing, but a few weeks ago, I went with the boys and we went and hit some golf balls. It had been years since I hit golf balls. And I found some muscles that I didn't know were there. Or they found me, rather. You don't build muscles if you don't exercise them. And we only build faith by exercising it. Oh, God, I just want you to get me out of this situation. Just deliver me right now, Lord. Just let me inherit $1 million. Just let me, God, just win the lottery. I mean, hopefully you don't play the lottery. If you do, this church... depending on you, so help us, Lord. Somebody actually did give a lottery ticket. I've already always heard about these stories, and somebody did put a lottery ticket in the offering. I think it was like $10 or something like that. I was like, hey, the devil's had it long enough, so, you know. I got to close. Would you stand with me tonight? I don't know what my thought was on that. You only develop faith by exercising it. Sometimes we're like, God, just get me out of this situation. I don't want to struggle. I don't want to have to work through this. I don't want to have to pray anymore. I don't want to have to fast. I just want to have victory right now. And if God did that, we wouldn't build any faith muscles. But sometimes God says, I'm just going to do a little delay right here because your faith is not quite where it needs to be yet. I've got greater things for you, and you're going to come through this, and you're going to fight another battle, and you're going to come through that, and you're going to fight something else, but we're going somewhere. Hallelujah. I don't know everything that God's about to do, but I tell you in the spirit tonight, there is momentum building. And more people are hungry for the things of God. And more people are praying and believing and pushing forward. And more are reaching for the supernatural. Not everybody wants this, I understand. But I tell you, there's a group of people that say, I want to see the supernatural. I want to have revival in this city. I've been inviting people. You've been inviting people. They're going to start coming from the four corners of Springfield. This thing's about to bust wide open. Come on. It's starting to happen. Momentum is building. Let's get on this train and let's ride it and see what God is going to do. In the name of Jesus. God wants to do some things here tonight. God wants to do some things in this place. Before we even leave this house, there could be a mighty supernatural miracle. I don't want anything to hold us back. I don't want anything. I don't want bitterness, unforgiveness, fear, doubt, worry. We got to lay it aside right now. And we've got to only believe. We've got to only believe. Hallelujah. Jesus said, when you pray, believe that you receive it and you shall have it. Somebody needs to close your eyes right now, and you need to start praying in the spirit, and you just start reaching for things that are in the heavenlies. It's not in the natural. It's not in the physical, but it's up there in the heavenlies. And if you reach for it, God is going to do it. God is going to provide it. Come on, somebody, only believe. Somebody stretch your faith right now. Somebody reach out and take hold of the supernatural. Only believe.